think I was going to tell you, I have to take off my shoes because I broke it. And I didn't want to be the comedic relief this morning by doing a real and disappearing on you. I want you to get your Bibles open to Romans 5. I love Romans 5. Someone said to me, and they're so accurate, and it wasn't an insult, it was to me a compliment. You realize every sermon you preach, you almost always have a scripture from Romans. There's a reason for that. Theologically, Romans is so packed solid of pure gold. It's just incredible. This book has such powerful theology in it. Just one verse could give you something to think about for months and months, if not the rest of your life. My sermon title this morning is Hope Does Not Disappoint. Therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom also we have obtained our introduction by faith into this grace in which we stand, and we exult in hope of the glory of God. And not only this, but we exult in our tribulations, knowing that tribulation brings about perseverance, and perseverance proving character, and proving character hope. And hope does not disappoint, because the love of God has been poured out within our hearts through the Holy Spirit who was given to us. God, let us take away this morning from your word what you've given us. And I pray that not one person in this room would fail to see your heart, would fail to see what you have done for us and that what we have in you. And we ask this in the name of Jesus. Amen. Christmas time, we hear the words from Scripture tossed around. I love watching Christmas programs, and I often marvel at how close they come to Scripture with missing the whole point of the reason Jesus came was the gospel of Jesus Christ. That was the whole purpose of Christmas, is to bring Jesus into the world. And they get the peace and the hope and the love, but they miss Jesus somehow. It's like he's the reason we have these things, and yet they completely miss it. They capture the concept. They have no idea how to obtain it. The King of Kings arrived on earth, setting in motion our deliverance from sin, from hell. It's the greatest gift of all times. And the world sort of gets it, but they don't. They know there's something special about it, but they just can't get it. And so many shows are trying to capture what we have. Saying those words, we have, I want you to look in your scripture again that I read from verse 5. Chapter 5, verse 1, we have peace with God. Verse 2, we have obtained our introduction by faith into this grace in which we stand. What I want this morning for us to grab onto here is, what do we have? We have these things. The first thing that we see here is we have received peace with God. We have this peace. Now, peace is not something as a state of mind. It's what you have. You have peace with God. Now, you have peace with a lot of things. You don't think about it all the time. So we don't often think about it, but sometimes we do. And oftentimes I see believers trying to strive for something that they already have. And they're wasting their time trying to strive for something that they already have. And the reason they're striving for it is because they don't quite grab onto the fact that they already have it. So they're working hard for it. And they don't have that peace of mind about the peace that they already have. So they're busy striving for it. And I'll tell you what, if you can grab a hold of the fact that you have peace with God when you don't deserve it, that you know you got it because the Bible says you have it, you're going to rejoice in God. You're going to love the God that gave it to you because you know you don't deserve it, amen? But you have it. You don't have to work for it. You don't strive for it. You have it through what Jesus Christ did for you on the cross. Embrace it. Grab onto it. Hold on to it. It's not something that you earned, lest any man should boast. We know these scriptures. We know them. And every time we mess up and sin, we feel like we have to try to get that peace with God back. You have it. No, you don't deserve it. Nobody in this room does. I don't. Nobody deserves it. We have it. Jesus said that no one who comes to me will I certainly not, I will not cast out, he says. John 6:37, I'll read that properly. All that the Father gives me shall come to me, and the one who comes to me I will certainly not cast out. We see in the rest of this chapter of Romans that verse 8 says, well, we were sinners, Christ died for us. Well, we were enemies, Christ died for us. And we see this, we're helpless. Yeah, we're helpless. Christ died for us. We don't earn it. We never did earn it. We started off on the wrong foot. We'll end up on the wrong foot, and yet we have it. 5:8, God demonstrates his own love toward us. And while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. That love is agape love. Agape love, it's undefeatable benevolence and unconquerable goodwill that always seeks the highest good of the other person, no matter what he does. It's that self-giving love, that made him go to the cross. It's that self-giving love that gives freely without asking anything in return and does not consider the worth of its object. That's what agape love is. I took that from the Spirit-filled Bible. That self, God loves you with this agape love. That's why he gave you salvation. He didn't give it to you because you earned it. It's because he loves you. He sees in you something that we don't often see in ourselves, that we don't see in other people, but God sees it. Romans 8:1. You should probably flip over there. Romans 8:1. This is a good one. If you're a Bible underliner, you should be underlining some of these. My Bible is totally underlined. Therefore, there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. No condemnation. We have peace with God. Sometimes well, I'll tell you what. You have peace with the United States. We're not at war with the United States. So we need to understand that it's not a feeling. It's something we have. You can take it for granted. It's important that you understand that this is not something that you're trying to earn, that you might get one day. If you believe that Jesus Christ came to this world on Christmas morning, if you believe that he lived on this earth and walked with man, and that he decided to go to that cross, even though he was God himself, even though he created all of us, even though we are like dust on the balance, the Bible says, he still went to that cross and he suffered, he felt the pain, and he died for you. But he didn't stay dead because he'd never sinned in his life, and he rose again on the third day so that he could give you salvation. He could give you eternity with him in heaven because he paid the price for your sin. And because he paid the price, we have peace with God. Long as we believe that, we have that. It's undeserved, unearned, obtained only by your faith in God and the covenant of Jesus Christ and his blood, which we celebrated this morning with communion. Well, we have something else. We have victory through God. We see here, through also verse 2 I'm reading, we have obtained our introduction to faith and to this grace in which we stand. We exult in hope of the glory of God. We exult in hope of the glory of God. That word exalt, I have said this before, so bear with me if you're getting tired of me. That word exalt means victory. We have victory, but it's more than just victory. It's more than just victory. It's exalting is putting voice to that victory. It's saying, I had victory in God. It's putting voice to it, exalting. When you hear of exaltation, you think of a noisy room. When we're worshiping God, we are exalting him with our voice, and we are proclaiming him God. We have victory that we can pronounce. We can say it because we have it. We have victory. Romans 8:28 reads like this, and we know that God causes all things to work together for good to those who love God, to those who are called according to his purpose. This is not something everybody has. The believer in Jesus Christ has victory through God. I don't know about you, but I hate it when there's nothing I can do to help somebody. You ever have somebody come to you and they're broken and you know there's nothing you can do or say that's going to make any difference at all in their life? But if they know Jesus Christ, they have victory. It's not always easy. And we're going to talk about how we go through these trials. Verse 3, not only this, but we exalt in our tribulations, knowing that tribulation brings about perseverance, and perseverance proving character, and proving character, hope. Sometimes we have to go through that hardship. Doesn't mean we don't have victory. It doesn't mean that we don't have victory at all. I sometimes think that we get our eyes on the wrong victory. We think victory is getting everything we want. We think victory is always feeling good. We think victory means nobody ever dies. Well, you live long enough, everybody you know is going to die. That's not what we're talking about here. Victory in God is setting your eyes upon a bigger hope, upon a better thing. I was just reading in the Old Testament last month about Pharaoh, and he would get the plague. Moses would come and God would send a plague on Pharaoh, and Pharaoh would, oh no, we're gonna die. And so he'd call Moses back and say, you can go worship your God, I'm sorry. And then Moses would pray and have the plague removed, and Pharaoh would, we're not gonna worship that God, stop them from going, what was I thinking? You see, the thing is, one of the commentaries I read is that he did this because temporary affliction doesn't change the heart. And see, Pharaoh, well, as soon as the affliction was gone, his heart would change. Now, I'm not going to suggest for one second that you're going through the hardship because you're slow to learn or you're being punished for something, although we feel that way when we're going through a trial, amen. We feel like we're being punished. We feel like God doesn't care, all of those things. But what I want to tell you is you're going through the trial and you're being changed. You're being changed as you go through it. You don't come out the other side the same. If you've ever gone through a serious trial in your life, you should be saying amen right here. You do not come out the same as you went in. You are changed forever. But if you are a believer in Jesus Christ, you have the exalting victory. You will not change for the worse. You change for the better. Something in you. You have far more compassion for people who are hurting. You are far more humble than the person who has everything go their way and hand it over to them. You have far more deeper understanding of the weakness of your own soul. A lot of these things you gain as you go through these trials, and you find out that you're just a human, and you find out that this life is fragile. There's things you only find out when you're going through that trial. And sometimes we need to go through that trial. Our character is changed, it says in here. And we learn what it means to persevere. We learn what it means to get out of bed and put one foot in front of the other, even though that's the last thing we want to do. We learn this as we go through the trial. We learn that through God we find this strength that wells up from within us. There is so much that we learn as we go through the trial. I'm going to read a scripture from Hebrews. Therefore, since we have so great a cloud of witnesses surrounding us, let us lay aside every encumbrance and the sin which so easily entangles us, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us. Endurance. We learn that by enduring. verse 2, fixing our eyes on Jesus. We're not looking here for our satisfaction. We look to Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy set before him endured the cross, despising the shame. He sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. He sat down in victory, amen. And consider him who has endured such hostility by sinners against himself, so that you won't grow weary and lose heart. What do you need to do when you're going through this trial? How you persevere? You get your eyes on Jesus, and you realize that because of the lostness of mankind, because of the evil that you see in this world, that's why he died. That's why he did it, but he did it. He didn't wipe us out. He gave himself for us. And so look at him. Look at his example. Don't get weary. Don't lose heart. Know that you have the victory. Say amen. I met someone who's going through a trial with another person. And then, oh, man, and it just never seems to stop. I won't say their name because I didn't ask their permission. It just doesn't seem to stop. It's just one thing after another, after another, after another. And they just keep praying for this person. And they said to me, I'll tell you what, Pastor Judy, this person has taught me how to forgive. He learned something from this trial. He came out of it victorious because, believer, when someone is like that in your life and constantly antagonistic and they're in your life, there's not much you can do about it. You give the enemy a black eye when you turn around and say, they taught me something good. Because that's what the believer has. When we go through trials, we come out victorious. We have the victory. We need to get our eyes on Jesus. We need to get our eyes on what the real goal is. I watched an interview with Wayne Gretzky. I loved it. I mean, I was a real hockey fan back then. I still am. I still love hockey. But Gretzky, those days were really fun. And the announcer once asked Gretzky, how is it that you always seem to score? You always seem to find your way around the ice, and it's just like magic the way you get around and everything. And Gretzky said to him, I'm not looking at where I am. I'm always looking at the play ahead of me, and I'm always looking at the goal. I know what I got to do is I got to get from where I am to my goal, and that's the one I just find my way. Believers, we can take a word from that. Stop looking at the mess you're in. Stop focusing on that and look ahead to the goal. I don't know how many of you guys ever watched that show, Canada's Worst Drivers. Is it not funny? You just sometimes wonder. Some people just really should never drive. That's what I think. They always are, when they're teaching these guys to drive, they say it over and over and over again. Don't look at where your car is right now. Look at where you want your car to go. And point your car where you want it to go, and you'll be fine. But they're so busy looking, and then they're all over the road, and they bump into things, and it's just startling, absolutely startling. You see, if you're not looking where you want to go, you're going to get off track. You're going to have an accident. And believers, we can be so messed up by looking at where we're at right now that we get off track. We get paralyzed with fear. We start making poor decisions. I was recently reading a psychology paper about that very thing, and the author had stated that people look at the sadness that they're feeling right now, and they begin to believe that that's the way it's always going to be, that they're always going to feel this sad and there's no hope. And as soon as they believe there's no hope, they lose their resiliency. Their ability to spring back from within, and hopelessness begins to settle on them, and some of them will take their lives, and people will give up on life. That's really sad. But we, believers, have the victory. And it's interesting that psychology says that that hope and that zeal for life comes from within. It comes from inside. Because Romans 5:5 says this, the love of God has been poured out within our hearts through his Holy Spirit who was given us. Christ is our hope of glory. It's something that works from within. It's a power of God. That love of God begins to work from inside you, and it begins to give you the strength again. It begins to pour out the the Bible says. It's not a drop. It begins to pour out. God pours it out from within your heart. We used to talk about that, the river that overflows and all that. There's a reason we sing those songs, because that's how it works. It comes from inside you, believers. We have a power and a hope that the world cannot overcome. It says that in the Bible. And I don't know where. Romans 8, 37, 39. Back to Romans 8. Flip over there. Maybe read this very carefully. But in all these things, Romans 8, 37, I'm reading. In all these things, we overwhelmingly conquer through him who loved us. For I'm convinced that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, these angels and principalities, by the way, are demonic spirits. We have power over demonic spirits. Nor things present, nor things to come. Don't get your eyes on them now. Nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor any created thing will be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. That is where our hope is. That is where our victory is. And no one can take that away from you. You have it. Amen. You have it. You have victory over sin. Romans 6:14 says, sin shall not be master over you. 1 Corinthians 10:13 says, no temptation has taken you such as is common to man, but God will always give you a way to escape it. We have victory over sin. You're a new creation in Christ Jesus. Old things have passed away. All things become new. You have this. If you think you're stuck in a sin and you just got to accept it and live that way, you're wrong. Scripture says you're wrong. The Bible wants you to know you have these things. Guess what? You have victory over death. Oh, death, where is your sting? Where is it? Because when you die, you go to a better place. It's true. Believers in Jesus Christ, we do not go to hell. We are not separated from God. We have life in Jesus Christ. The Bible says there is no more tear, nor sorrow, no more sickness. We have victory over death. Yes, this body will die, but your spirit lives on eternally regardless. What a wonderful thing we have. So we have peace with God, and we have victory through God. I'd envisioned myself at one point asking you guys to stand and say this, but I don't want to put anybody on the spot. But I know this for a fact. There are people in this room that have overcome sin. They have overcome smoking. There's people in this room that have overcome an incredibly difficult childhood. There are people in this room who have overcome pornography addiction, drug addiction, alcoholism. I know this because, like Dan, I know you guys personally. I know a lot of you what you've overcome. Some of you have overcome sorrow. You've walked that valley of sorrow, and you know about it, and you've overcome it. You come out a different person. So we have victory through God. We have hope in God, and hope does not disappoint. Again, hope is not something that you feel. In this verse, both times, hope is a noun. It's a thing. It's something you have. And it was obtained for you through Jesus Christ. Now that faith, that hope is generated in your faith. Romans 4:18. Now faith is assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen. Hebrews 11:13. Is talking about the men who had hope in God, and they didn't have hope in this world, because this world is rather hopeless. All these died in faith without receiving the promises, but having welcomed them from a distance, having confessed that they were strangers and exiles on earth. It goes on in that chapter to say in 11:38, men of whom the world was not worthy. See, the text that I'm reading, and I'm looking at verse 2 to verse 5, hope is like bookends that kind of put this thing together when you go through a trial. You start with hope. You end with hope. You have hope. You don't gain hope going through a trial. You have hope. hope is what gets us through our trials and gives us that victory. And it's a hope that's not going to disappoint you. It's stronger. We're all hoping for things. I'm hoping on January 9th to be on an airplane heading to Mexico. We're all hoping for things. But something you just can't escape your notice, that you're never going to experience fullness of joy while you're here on earth. There's always going to be something that stands in the way of yippee-ki-yay perfect joy. And I think sometimes we don't understand the word joy, so we don't understand any of this. Because a lot of people think joy is like this ecstasy moment that you get. You know how on Christmas morning you open up the presents, you can hardly wait, and you tear off all the paper and you're sitting there and you got your gifts, and then there's a moment after. I watched it again this Christmas. It happened again. I watched it every Christmas. And when the kids were really little, it didn't happen as soon. But after everything, all the excitement's done, it wears off. My kids got so smart on me, the little smarty pants. Everybody knows what they're getting before they open their presents. I don't know why I'm looking at you. They already know what they're getting. And so that moment isn't as ecstatic as it used to be. Sometimes people wanting that joy, they've given everything for a cause or for a monetary gain. And in the end, all they are is disappointed and disillusioned. Even if they got everything they wanted, even if they've reached their goal, they find that they're unfulfilled. They find that it didn't bring them the joy that they expected it to bring. Some people have had great fame. I don't know how many of you guys marvel when you see a movie star, that takes his life. I don't know how that makes you feel. They had money. Everybody loved them. What's going on with them? What the heck? You just shake your head because you wonder what went wrong. Well, they got everything and it didn't fulfill them because they didn't have hope. They don't have real joy. They don't know what real joy is and they don't know how to get it. The Bible says the joy of the Lord is your strength. This is a different kind of joy, and it's stronger than emotion, and it's based in the hope of what is to come. It's not based on the now. And I've said that a lot because everything that we're looking at now is the faith in things that are to come, and that's why I've included these Hebrew scriptures in here, that we understand that we have a hope. We have a hope. We own it for things better that are coming. The heroes of the faith in Hebrews didn't put their hope in this world. They had their eyes on something much greater, much more powerful, and it's eternity. And they knew they were never going to find satisfaction in this world. That can only come from God. They were able, because of that hope, to endure incredible hardships. They demonstrated such profound depth of character. I fear if I should ever be tested like that. But they weren't after things here. They were after the heart of God. The world was not worthy of them. Wow. Because their eyes were on something better. You ever watch these shows, these long distance runners or boxing shows or whatever. And these guys, they just, they got their eye on the goal and they just go. Paul used the race thing, so that was a really good illustration. I got my eyes set on the prize and I run the race so as to win and not faint. I'm going to get there. When your eyes are on your goal, they're not on you. It's amazing how much more you can endure when you're looking for your goal. And not on you. Our hope is eternity in heaven. Our hope and our joy in Jesus Christ. And I mentioned it before, your joy in Jesus Christ is that you have this. You have this. You don't have to earn it. You have it. It's yours. Your hope in the future, your eternity with God. And you know what? When you get your eyes on your hope, and you have that hope and you realize it, it changes everything in your behavior. And you realize how seriously sin takes you off that course, but something else happens. It gives you the peace that you feel as well. But it also makes you want to share it with other people because you have it and you got the confidence to believe it. So you have peace with God. you have victory through God and you have hope in God. What God wants you to do is embrace what you already have this Christmas season. He came to give that to you, and he wants you to embrace that, to really know it. Can I have everybody just bow your heads, please? I don't want anybody looking around. If you're here this morning and you're saying, Pastor Judy, I want that. Maybe you don't feel that your walk is right with Jesus Christ. Maybe you don't even know how to have that relationship with him. If that's you this morning, if you want to ask Jesus Christ into your heart and you want to have this hope, you want to have this victory, you want to have this peace with God, just slide your hand up. I'm just going to pray for you. I'm not going to embarrass you. Thank you. Is there anybody else? I want to give everybody a chance to respond. Is there anybody else that would ask Jesus Christ into your heart this morning? Thank you. Is there anyone else? Just going to pray with those who raised their hand right now, but I'm going to have you all pray with me. We're going to say this, the prayer of salvation, asking Jesus Christ into your heart. If you say this prayer, I want you to know you're going to probably experience God on you, and that's a good thing. That's him letting you know that you were welcomed into his kingdom and you have these things. If you say it with faith, you have it. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, thank you for Jesus Christ, who died for my sin, who gave me the victory over his sin. Please forgive me, for I have sinned, and come into my heart and give me that hope and that peace and that victory. In the name of Jesus, I pray. Amen. Hallelujah. We're going to close with the song, Overcome. It just seems so appropriate this morning when we were singing it that I moved it to the end of our song set. The band would come forward and the worship team.